you're anything like me, you are always trying to learn something new, and that is why I love Rosetta Stone so much. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop or can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. With its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Blaise has been learning German with Rosetta Stone and is so cool to watch because as someone who speaks German, I get to see how he learns the different pronunciations, how excited he gets when he gets something right, and the phrases that he's learning we're going to be able to use next time we visit Germany and Austria. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, and that's why We Drink listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/drink. That's rosettastone.com/drink. We all love to treat ourselves every now and then, right? Like go out and buy a nice coffee, maybe get a little extra legroom on the plane. Then why are we always settling for doctors? Your health is the most important thing. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You know how I feel about making phone calls, and that is why I discovered ZocDoc many years ago before I even had a podcast. And so I'm thrilled. This feels very full circle. I use ZocDoc all the time in LA. I still use them here in Cincinnati. It's just such a cool service to be able to put in your insurance and find a doctor for whatever your ailment might be. I actually found an ENT doctor once when I had this sinus infection, probably TMI. But anyway, I love ZocDoc. I've loved it for years. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's how easy it is. Sometimes they even have same day appointments. I know I've gotten some in the past. Go to ZocDoc.com/drink and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/drink. ZocDoc.com/drink.
Ah, that sound never gets old, Christine.
And now you can yell what you yelled a few minutes ago before we did this.
What is wrong with me? Everyone, I think I can sense Gemini season is ending soon and all of the chaos is really just like compounding within itself.
Well, look at the shirt I like subconsciously, not so subconsciously wore. It says Gemini season all over it. It was from a listener, actually.
Yeah, at a live show, right?
That's right. No. They mailed it to our mailboxes.
And oh, I took yes.
Both of them, I think. I was like, these are mine now. One is for the podcast department. One is for me.
It's fun that they're twins of themselves.
That's right. I think they didn't realize what they were doing, but I took advantage. So hello, but, and now yeah. It is July. Welcome.
Yeah, I just recently, in the last time we tried to record this, I screamed, it's July, and we were in the middle of recording something else.
And I was like, it wasn't necessary. It's not, it's definitely mid-June. It was not
appropriate, and we had to start recording all over again.
I mean, it was fitting, but it wasn't exactly correct, but that's okay.
Anyway, welcome to our listeners episode, our seventh of the year, 7 out of 12, which is crazy. So that means we're officially halfway done with 2021.
Okay, that's really wild because the drag of 2020, obviously it was just like, we don't even need to go there, but 2020 was such a drag and now like we're like, okay, we're moving on and suddenly it's like, oh, we're moving on like so fast.
Yeah.
And I'm rocket like, in a couple months, I'm going to be like in a totally different life stage and space and I was gonna say
a very different what. That's a broad
very different blank and put every word you could think of, and so I feel like I'm kind of like terrified, like rocketing toward, I don't know, I'm already
being an adult officially,
being a grown up. Ooh, having yeah. a human to care for.
Again, like for like the fifth time in our friendship, I'm so glad that you're doing something before me.
Why do I do that? Like I have so much anxiety, but I think I'm impatient, that's the problem.
Like, I am maxi relaxy, just chilling, not feeling the need to do anything. And you're like, I'm having a baby. And I was like, whoa, my friend, you do you.
That's me, though. Like when I was moved to LA and was broke beyond broke, could barely pay rent, and then adopted a dog. By the way, don't do that. It was a huge mistake. I mean, I love you, G, but like he knows it was the most stressful experience of my life. And yes, I do know that in a couple of months I won't be saying that any longer, but at the time it was the most stressful experience of my life. And I mean I did everything. I was losing money at work because I was trying to pay for his daycare, and you know, he got the king's treatment, don't worry, but it was like, what was I thinking? I wasn't prepared for this. So this time I am more prepared, don't worry. I'm not going to do that to a child, but I'm just thinking like I'm always I'm just never, I don't take a beat. I'm just too impatient.
Meanwhile, my beat like ended all that time ago.
Your
and
beat
I still
just
have
reverberates.
Yeah, I'm just a carbon copy of the last 10 beats, I think. Which I am so happy to be just so stress-free. I'm gonna you will be the person I come to when I have a lot of questions one
that's
day.
That's what a lot of people are telling me. And I'm like, I can't promise I'll have any good answers. People
are like, your kid's going to be all dented and shit from like being the practice kid for the whole group of friends.
Well, listen, I was the practice kid in my mom's, you know, group and in her life. So I feel like this is what happens. Look
passing
at me.
On the torch. Passing on the torch. Well, then happy July. You now officially have 3 months left of not officially being a mom.
Oh, shudder. Yep.
What? I just Allison and I watched someone walk across the street with a stroller like yesterday, and both of us at the same time went, Christine's gonna do that one day.
I keep thinking that every time I see someone with a baby, I'm like, oh my god, Blaze, that's gonna be us. Oh my god. And he's like, yeah, that's a person with a baby, that's what it is. And I'm like, it's shocking to my system.
Nice to know he has zero 100% expectations are already met for him, and like 0% shock at anything.
He understands a stroller will be involved. I'm still kind of coming to grips with that.
Well, to those of you with babies, I don't know, I hope you're okay. And also to those of you without babies, I hope you're also doing okay. We're all living different lives, but we're still struggling. And also, it's about to be cancer season. I don't know if that it helps some of you.
Oh, jeez.
It's not going to be great for me because usually the tailspin of Gemini season more and more chaos.
Cancer season is a struggle for me. I struggle with it. It's a lot. It's a lot. But
well, good luck to all of us white knuckling it throughout cancer season.
We'll get it. We'll get through it. We love you. Any little crabbies out there, we love you. So welcome to your month.
Your month, finally. It's RJ's month also. He's a Cancer.
Okay.
Makes a lot of sense with all of his swimming. Anyway,
why?
We have
because he's a crab. Yeah. Like, wouldn't that be Pisces? Okay. It's a couple water related ones.
We have 6 stories today for you. So thank you, Eva, for reading them. Thank you to the 6 people who wrote in. Thank you to everyone who wrote in, but for these 6 who are getting featured.
Yes. Do you want to go first? I think I went first last time.
Sure.
I'm not positive, but
I'll still do it.
Great.
This is from Rebecca. Rebecca, I don't know your pronouns. Uh-oh. So we're going with the default they, them.
We made sure to check. I don't think there are anywhere they say at the end of the email. Also, by the way, don't use my name.
I just looked at the bottom.
So don't worry, everybody. Sorry about that.
Rebecca's subject line is actual backrooms story.
Okay.
I already hate it. So, this is a doozy, so let's crack into it. I was just listening to an episode on the Backroom Theory when I suddenly felt like I had experienced this in reality. Uh-oh. Suddenly, I had a Jimmy Neutron-like flashback that had my brain truly tried to suppress. Do you remember the Jimmy Neutron brain?
Oh, absolutely. All the neurons?
I had been volunteering in my local hospital when I was in high school, and since I don't like hospitals, blood, being sick, you know, things that make a hospital, I was usually placed at the front desk to help out. I love that you even picked that as a job, by the way.
Wow, what a strange career choice.
One day, I walk in, and my placement was being covered, so I had to go to an actual floor and do rounds / drop-off food.
Oh, no.
I get up there, and they ask me to go to the laundry room and get fresh linens for a patient. I'd never been to the laundry room, but had an idea of where I was heading. I get to a double-doored elevator, and I write it down. The elevator stops. I get off. Only then I realize it let me out the wrong way. No worries. I'll just get back on. Nope. Because the door would not open for anything. I figured, okay, there has to be another elevator or stairs down this hallway. Please picture, if you will, a long corridor that has only track lighting above a few doors and then turns to the right.
I mean, that's exactly what I was already picturing.
Yeah, you didn't have to describe it. We're there. We're already there. And also, you're locked down there because the elevator won't help you.
Cool.
I start walking down this hallway for what seems like eternity and realize I haven't even gotten to a turn yet. I continue on and begin to hear voices and whispers from behind some doors, but not enough to convince me anyone real was behind the voices. I continue down the hallway and the amount of doors doubles. The lights are starting to hurt my eyes and the voices seem to increase. You're literally, you've been walking for so long, you're going insane. That's what I'm hearing.
Oh my God.
Trying. Also, if you did hear a voice and it was an alive person, I'd still be nervous. I'd be like, why are you down here by yourself unless you're doing something real shady?
Behind this door that you can't apparently escape. Like, ew.
Yeah. Trying not to panic, I decide to just turn around and go back down the hallway. That's when I see the elevator I had exited right behind me.
What?
Not down a never-ending hallway filled with doors, but right there. I press the button and the door opens right away. I step on and go back upstairs, and it felt like I'd been down there for about half an hour, but it had actually been 2 hours. So now you're losing fucking time. Wait.
So that's even more wild. Because if you said, oh, I felt like I was down there for a few minutes, like that would lend credence to like the elevator was pretty close behind you. But if you felt like you were down there for a half hour, it was actually 2 hours, and still the elevator was right behind your back, like something is very wrong.
Ooh, I hate it. Ugh. My supervisor had assumed I was pulled somewhere else, so they sent someone down to do the laundry. So wait, someone else was also down there the whole time you never even noticed?
Oh, she got on the wrong floor.
I think they were saying,
like, since she was supposed to be doing the laundry, or they, I don't know their pronouns, since they were supposed to be doing the laundry, that they sent somebody else instead.
Yeah. They just agreed I was pulled elsewhere, and so I finished my rounds and left. I really don't know what happened that day, but I feel it's possible it was a mixture of the back doors and back rooms theories.
Yeah.
It was possibly another space that also occupied the hospital. Also, it's completely possible that my anxiety turned me around. All I know is that seeing the elevator right there, right away, when I turned to go back, was the most chilling yet calming sensation. The whispers behind the doors were also incredibly surreal, as were the lights. They were almost too bright. I have always had strange occurrences around me, so I am no stranger to oddities, but this was my one brain... this one my brain absolutely tried to hide from me. And this was my one brain, I think. Love you all. I met you both when you came to Long Island. And we were the whole family that came to your show as a family bonding night.
I remember you.
Can't wait to see you guys one day again, Rebecca.
We gave you so many hugs because there were so many of you. Wowza. That is so creepy, obviously. Like, it's one of those weird glitches where you can't explain. Something's always off. Like, either you didn't actually move very far, but then why had it been 2 hours? Or...
Right. Like, unless you, like, were... The only thing I can think of is, like, you were so sleepy you passed out and had a dream. And
or, like, had some sort of narcolepsy or something. Or, yeah. Who knows?
Oh, my God.
The other thing, too, is actually this sounds like a great way to avoid doing any laundry or any, like, you just... Oh. Pulled away to the back rooms and you don't have to do it.
Maybe something was doing you a favor and they're like, you don't want to touch those linens.
We
like,
know,
just trust
we
us.
Know.
Yeah. But also, like, yeah, going down there and just walking just to like turn around and like back into the elevator. Like, so it was behind you the whole time.
It almost like just makes reality, like space and time feel fake, which is so creepy. Like,
like the thing I am most certain about is that those two things are like fixed and it's like, oh, nope, never mind.
And that's the one thing humans depend on and then never mind.
Yep.
So you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. In fact, I actually shout this at any friends I have who are engaged because it saved my life when I was planning my wedding. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can design save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. I tell my friends Zola is a one-stop shop, right? This is the key to planning a wedding. I didn't even have a wedding planner. I used Zola and they were so helpful on every front. Everything from save the dates to a wedding website to online RSVPs to finding vendors. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Is your child asking questions on their homework you don't feel equipped to answer? Maybe your child is too shy to ask questions in front of the entire class, but they can get extra help and positive feedback with IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. This program will improve your kids' grades. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. From studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. And one subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home pre-K to 12th grade. If your child is struggling, this is the smartest investment you can make. And a month of IXL costs less than an hour of tutoring. Additionally, IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And That's Why We Drink listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/drink. Visit IXL.com/drink to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Okay, well, speaking of that, I have one called Nurse Ghost Story, so I guess we're on an unintentional medical theme, unless it was intentional, in which case
we'll find
out. Intentional medical theme. This is from Bailey. Thank you, Bailey. Bailey says, hey, spooky friends. I'll keep the intro short, mostly because I'm a terrible writer, but thank you for being so fun to listen to and for being your awesome and authentic selves. I go by she, her pronouns.
Oh, I have thank you for normalizing pronouns.
I have two ghost stories for you. Thank you. I have two ghost stories for y'all, and I'm a terrible writer, so I apologize in advance. All right, so I'm a nurse, and I work on a neuro unit at a hospital. Okay, so maybe this was intentional. We'll see. Meaning I work with mainly stroke victims, brain and spinal surgeries, traumatic brain injuries, etc. I also work nights, which will literally suck the life out of you, but that is besides the point. So one night I was charting at my computer, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw someone leaning out of a room with a blue hospital gown on. And if anyone works in a hospital, you know, or has been to the hospital, me raising my hand, you know exactly the shade of worn out blue I'm talking about. I look over and they're gone, so I think maybe someone needs help or something. And being the good and helpful nurse I am, I walk down a few rooms where I saw the flash of blue gown knock quietly on the door and peek my head in the room. The room was completely dark and vacant with no one inside. This happened two more times that night where I was sitting to chart and I saw someone lean out of that same room, but every time they were gone by the time I looked over. All right, that was a small appetizer, so here's the big boy.
Oh.
I think you're an excellent writer, Bailey. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, hang on a second. Yeah, I think you're fooling yourself.
That's beautiful. So to preface, my husband is a security guard at the hospital I work at, and he has access to cameras. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Okay, one night I had a patient who was on the unit because they kept having strokes. They wouldn't last too long, maybe 10 to 20 minutes, but they would happen at the same time each day. The day in question, the patient had not had their daily stroke. Their daily stroke. I haven't had my daily stroke. That sounds terrible.
That sounds like it was a good day then, right?
Yeah. Side note, this is not normal, and the doctors were trying to figure out what the fuck was going on with this weird phenomenon. So I get on shift, and I'm like, cool, maybe this is over. Awesome. I'm so happy and relieved for my patient. Right, so it seems like a positive.
Yeah.
Everything was going smoothly. Then I got a call that the patient needed a routine MRI done, so I took them down to the first floor to drop them off. On my way to the elevators, I saw someone walk into the farthest one to the right of me, and the doors closed. I am very antisocial and have terrible social anxiety, so I waited about 15 seconds to push the button. Been there. So I wouldn't have to get in the same elevator as them. After I waited the appropriate amount of time, probably 15 seconds, long enough to avoid them, but not long enough for them to get off the elevator, I scanned my badge and pushed the buttons. There are six elevators that could have opened, but which opens? The fucking elevator that I just saw someone walk into a few seconds ago. As I walk up preparing my apology for making them wait, that's the worst when you let them go and then you hit the button and it opens and they're still there. And you're like, oh. Now I have to admit that I was avoiding you.
You're but... like, we both know what was happening here,
yikes.
Right?
Just and now you're late.
Busted.
So awkward. So let's see. As I walk up preparing my apology for making them wait, I realize there is no one in the elevator. The doors close and I instantly have a weird vibe. So I make it to my unit, get off the elevator from hell, and continue on with my nursely duties, you know, saving lives and shit. So about 30 minutes later, I get a call from MRI saying my patient is done and to come pick them up. I was busy at the moment, so I asked my tech, certified nursing assistant for hospitals and people who are severely overworked and underpaid, to run downstairs and grab them. Maybe 5 minutes later, I get a panicked call from said tech saying the patient is having another episode in the elevator on the way up and to meet them in the room. So I sprint to my patient's room, and sure enough, they're having their daily stroke episode, but it was almost all resolved by the time they were off the elevator. After I make sure the patient is okay, both physically and emotionally, I go talk with my tech. The tech told me everything was fine and dandy until they got on the elevator and the episode started. And once they got off the elevator, the symptoms started to subside. Curious, I asked which elevator they got on. And my tech said the farthest one to the right, the same elevator I took up.
It's like that the person in there maybe is like a harbinger for something.
Something bad, yeah. The patient was fine the rest of the night, but the next day I gave my husband the location and time and asked him to look back at the cameras and tell me if he saw anything. He said, before I come into view of the camera, the elevator opens and closes on its own. Then he sees me wait a little and get on that same elevator.
So nobody was on the elevator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's fucking balloonatunes. Are you kidding me?
The other weird part is that it opens and closes. So, like, even there was nobody there, but also nobody pushed the button or anything.
You know what's so much worse is, like, she?
Yeah.
She, her? Had social anxiety with a ghost. Like, like, that guy was on the elevator and you were like, oh, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh. And, like, he was not even there.
That's like that book, The Gift of Fear, where he tells you, by Gavin DeBeck, where he tells you, like, trust your gut. And sometimes if you're feeling like antisocial or you don't, there is an example where he says, like, if you are getting on an elevator and you feel uncomfortable, like, listen to that feeling. Ooh. I'm like, maybe it was your body being like, I'm antisocial, but like reality, your body was like, don't get on that fucking elevator. Something is wrong.
Yes. Something with that. If you had to be in an elevator. Also, what would have happened if you got on the elevator?
I don't want to know.
What's that 20-second experience standing?
Oh, I know. You end up in that fucking hallway in the basement.
Oh, right.
Samantha, or what was their name? I forget.
Rebecca.
Sorry.
But no, like, it does make you think, like, in a world where, like, you know, she got on the elevator, it's like, do you stand next to this thing for 30 whole seconds? Or was she going to watch it, like, vanish in front of her? Was it going to see something creepy? Was it going to be levitating in the elevator?
Or would she, like, turn to get on the elevator and nobody was in there?
Okay, that would have been the best option, bleh. I think.
Okay, let's see. There's a little bit more here. The elevator opens and closes on its own. Then he sees me wait a little and get on the same elevator. It could all very well be a coincidence, but working in the medical field for a few years now, I know that it's rarely ever just a coincidence. Sorry for the long story, but thank you for all you do. Please, please remember to get vaccinated, wear a mask, wash your damn hands. People are dying alone and families are losing loved ones without saying goodbye. We need to work together to end this. Thank you, amen. Bailey. Amen. Amen, wow. And hallelujah. So, wow. Yikes. Chills. Gross. Oof. No, thank
okay.
you.
That is, I'm glad that Bailey, like, avoided the situation, but I will always be curious, like, what would that write have looked like? So, anyway, I'm glad you're safe. That's
Are there cameras on the elevator? That would have been interesting.
That would have been so interesting. Oh,
It's probably been too long to check, but.
oh my God, I just did something with my headphones. Juan, can you talk?
Yes, I can talk all day, actually. I can talk for the rest of my life if you want to.
Damn, I fucked something up on my headphones and now I can hear you on. Oh, there you are.
Hey yo, it's me. Hey-o. Did you miss me? Burst out of the closet, like, why are you screaming? Hello.
He was like, and it's me. It's me too.
It's me. I was going to say one more thing, which was that makes me think, because it's cool that Bailey had a connection to somebody who could, like, double check, but it makes you think of all the times where you, like, see something weird and you can't double check it and you just write it off as like, oh, it must have just been my imagination. But, like, there's so many times where you probably could have had somebody, if you had footage or you had, you know, something to prove your weird feeling.
There's a lot of things I would like to look back on. It's one of those things where I imagine if you, like, end up at, like, the pearly gates and get to ask a question or something. I have no idea what my one question would be, but one of them I would consider for sure is, like, how many times was I next to a ghost and just had no fucking clue?
And had,
like,
no idea, or had a weird feeling.
Or a demon.
Couldn't.
When was I near a demon?
It. Yeah. How creepy. And then, I mean, I already forgot about the whole beginning of, like, there was that room that kept having somebody lean out of it and nobody was in there. Like,
see ya.
That was its own thing? Wow. That was only the appetizer? Appetizer?
That was the amuse-bouche.
The amuse-bouche. You've probably heard about Burrow. It's a new kind of furniture company known for timeless design, durable materials, and details that make life in your space easier. Last year, they brought their expertise outside with the launch of their outdoor line, and now they're adding more must-have pieces to the collection. Dunes offers seating, dining, and lounger options, while Scout is a new folding chair upholstered in a chic woven fabric. Made of durable materials made for all seasons. Weather-resistant teak, stainless alloy, quick-dry, stain-resistant cushions. Love that. With easy assembly and disassembly. They also just launched a new standing desk co-pilot with adjustable height, a durable scratch-resistant body with built-in storage to make working at home easier than ever. And of course, there's Burrow's legacy seating collections like the Nomad and Range, now available in new colors. So no matter what you choose, you always get free shipping on every order, which can run up to $100 for larger items. And that is a win. You know, Emma and I love our Burrow, and now that they have outdoor furniture, I'm very excited to get my lounge on. We have this balcony, and I am always looking for something to make it comfy but also look chic, you know, because it's outside, everyone can see it, and I want to look stylish while I'm bird watching. I love Burrow. It's easy to assemble. It ships free. I can't recommend them highly enough. And that's why We Drink listeners can get 15% off their first order at burrow.com/drink. That's Burrow, burrow.com/drink for 15% off. burrow.com/drink. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. It's like when you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/drink. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right. Our next one is from Alex, who uses she, her pronouns. Thank you for normalizing pronouns. And the subject line is kids are scary. So.
That is very on brand for this month. Yes, for this year.
And it's lengthy, so I am afraid to read this much about a child, let alone your terrible experience of a child, I'm
imagining.
Just going
to sit here and absorb it, I guess.
Okay, so Alex says, hello, Christine, M, Eva, and crew. My name is Alex, she, her pronouns, and I'm a mom of two. I'm wine-loving and soon-to-be forensic psychologist.
Let's be friends.
Look forward to your podcast every week.
I'm holding my Krampus and Mothman stuffies.
While also holding a little bebe as well.
And a bebe. So
you've got the trifecta from hell over there, I think.
The three demons and me.
Me and my Louie. Me and my three demons.
This is my, I think somebody mailed me this. This is from Cryptid something on Etsy. Cryptid Comforts?
Cryptid Comfort Shop is the one that I got you.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. This is something different, I think. I'll look it up later.
They're really, by the way, like you holding those three little demons in your arms. It makes me think like someone should redo Full House, but it's all based in hell.
It's animated and it's just me and Krampus and oh my God,
it's like
I love it.
2.5 men, but 2.5 demons, you know?
2.5 demons actually works so well.
It works a little too well right now.
Like really weird.
Look forward to your podcast every week. I have considered writing this story into you several times, but always hesitate because of how long it is. But now that Christine is expecting a little bebe of her own,
boy.
I feel like it is the perfect time to share, as this has to do with my firstborn daughter. And knowing your all's link to the paranormal, I have a sneaking suspicion that Christine's new baby will say or do some goose cam worthy things. Yeah.
I can't wait to call you every time that happens.
It's why I'm already so fortunate you're on the other side of the country. And like,
I did you a favor. Okay.
You did. I was like, I really wish I knew your kid, but also, no, I don't. Like,
but also, you're going to not regret, being far removed. You're right.
One day I'm going to babysit the kid, and they're going to just like whisper the creepiest shit in the corner of the room. And they're not even going to look at me, which is the worst part. They're going to be like, looking at the corner
looking
of
over
the
your
room.
Shoulder.
I'm going to be like, Christine, you didn't tell me your kid knows Latin. I don't understand what's happening.
Oh, they don't. That's weird.
They'll be just like levitating horizontally. Okay, let's start with a little background to my family history. I grew up close with my mom's side of the family and was lucky enough to have my great-grandmother in my life until I was 18. All of my life, we would go and visit her, and she had quite the fantastical stories to share with me. It was rumored that her mother, or my great-great-grandmother, was considered a witch in her small town growing up. Wow, this is your ancestors one day talking
I'm
about
so
you.
I'm so happy about this already. I feel so connected to the story.
My great-grandmother seemed to inherit some abilities as well, and she lived in an apartment on the 11th floor and swore that she saw her oldest son come to visit her one afternoon years ago. He told her goodbye and then walked out of the window, again, from 11 stories up in the air.
Oh, dear.
Later that day, she received a phone call letting her know that her son had passed away. Whoa.
Oh, shit.
She also had a dream of her sister laying in a casket and woke up the next day to find out her sister had passed away. First of all, talk about the amount of trauma this poor person is going through.
Seriously, that's dark. And if you ever have a dream accidentally about something like that, you must wake up in panic.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%. There were many other stories, but those two always stuck with me the most. My grandmother always... also would tell me stories of seeing shadow people at the foot of her bed all the time as a little girl. And then there was my mother, who would claim to see reflections of people who were not actually there in the mirrors on several occasions. As for myself, I would get gut feelings about things, but nothing as extreme as the rest of the women in my family tree until I became pregnant with my first daughter.
Oh, fuck.
Fast forward to 2013. I was about 3 months pregnant, and my husband and I had moved into our new home here in Kentucky. What is going
on? Wait a second. Are we friends?
Wait. Hang on. Tell me if you recognize this place. It was a split-level house, and on the upper level was a baby's nursery. Have you been in this house, Christy?
Oh, I look around me. Wait a second. No, I'm just kidding.
It was midday, and the sun was shining bright as I was upstairs painting the new nursery, which was a cute mint green and white stripe accent wall. I appreciate the gender neutrality.
And we also needed to know the colors. I certainly needed to know what you painted.
Love
it, so thank you.
A good green. Love a good green.
Love green.
All of a sudden, the doorbell started to ring over and over and over again. I sent my brush down and went to answer the door, wondering why someone would be ringing the doorbell so aggressively. I pulled the door open, and mid-ring, it stopped.
No.
Ooh.
No.
No one was at the door.
No.
I played it off as maybe a wiring issue with the doorbell, but I had the gut feeling that something was very wrong and that someone was watching me as I had opened the door.
Shivers. Also, like, you're painting the nursery. What an innocent thing to be doing while somebody just decides to harass you at that very moment.
The purest thing you can be doing.
Yes, exactly. Ugh.
After this, all was quiet and seemingly normal. My baby Stella was born in December of that year. She was a happy, smart, loving baby, and we enjoyed our new family and home so much. Fast forward again to when she was around a year and a half old. She was an early talker and could communicate very well. She nightly would walk to the front of the house and look out the window and point and say, "Ghosty man outside."
Oh, forget about it. Forget about it.
Oh, no. That's okay. If I'm ever watching your kid and they say, "Ghosty man outside," I'm calling WAG and they're coming to take care of the baby. And I'm going to go. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm gonna be like, wait here until the mom gets home. They're good.
Here's their harness. Take them.
Now, I love a good horror movie. Occasionally would indulge in some Ghost Adventures episodes, but I was shocked still that she knew the word ghosty, as I normally would wait to watch those types of things until after she was in bed.
Also, like, they don't usually say ghosty on the show, so I feel
Can you imagine if Bagel Bites was like, oh, a ghosty?
Honestly, I can't. And
hey, ghosty, I simply can't do this right now.
Ghosty.
Hey, ghosty pop.
Stop. Em, you are on fire today. I'm not kidding.
We kept assuring her nothing was out there, but she would get more adamant and more descriptive as time went on. She started patting my head and saying, "Ghosty man hat."
I can't.
As if someone was out there wearing a hat. She would say, "Ghosty man, eat apples. We had an apple tree in our front yard."
Oh, no.
Also, now I know that there are ghosts that are, like, totally ripping off your own garden.
Yeah, wait like, a second. That's, like, not their property.
If I plant some tomatoes, are they, like, just chomping away over there? That's and they're, like, letting me blame the deer or
honestly,
something?
All dead plants that I can't keep alive are now. It's now the problem of the ghost, not me.
It was actually the ghost who just injecting poison into the plant. That's why it died so quickly.
It, like, bit all the leaves off or something.
At this point, she was close to 2 and could walk very well. I had gone out front to check the mailbox, and she came behind me. As I was about halfway down the driveway, she started screaming, "Run, mommy, run! No, ghosty no. man, get you!"
No! This child is either a maniacal genius or, like, the creepiest baby alive. Like,
more than anything, This is literally, this is the number one reason for birth control. If you if someone out there is like, oh, I need to take my pill, but I'm like, I'll wait 5 minutes. I'm sorry. Someone's child just screamed, run, mommy, run, ghosty man, get you. So like, go take your fucking pill.
Pause the episode.
I turned around to assure her I was fine and then watched as she got what I can only describe as shoved down.
No.
So something fucking yeeted this kid after, like, she called him out.
And she's been so nice to him, just calling him ghosty guy.
I don't know. She has been, like, dishing his laundry. Like, really, letting us know. Like, he's eating our apples. He's wearing a hat.
I'm keeping an eye on this guy.
I saw her little back arch forward as if something had pushed her right at the center of her back. I ran and picked her up and said, fuck the mail, and rushed back inside, locking the door. And then came the awful day. I was changing her in her room, and she started thrashing around, screaming and crying. And she said, clear as day.
Oh, my God. What? What?
Ghosty man inside me. And pointed to her chest.
What the fuck,
Hey, someone wanted to win best creepiest listener story ever, and they're winning.
What the fuck?
Again, that gut feeling came rushing that this was more than I understood and could help her with. And at this point, everything had been outside, and I started to piece things together that maybe the doorbell incident when I was pregnant had... I have such chills.
I'm so freaked out.
Maybe the doorbell incident when I was pregnant and had just moved in was the ghosty man basically trying to get inside the house.
Don't open your damn doors, I'm telling you folks. Don't open
it. And since she had opened the door and like welcomed it in theory by opening the door.
While she was painting the nursery too. Like,
I mean, also like don't spirits like when you're pregnant, like don't spirits like flock to that new energy?
I think so. Or I think at least there's a theory that you're more in tune or more vulnerable. Yeah, like more open to that.
I don't know. I feel like this one is the, like, if you're pregnant, like, they can sense new energy, and all of a sudden this thing would, like, sense that there was a new baby on the property and, like, came flying into the house being like, I'm going to attach to that. And then ever since the kid was born, there was some sort of weird attachment they had.
It's like that story we read, I think it was last month, or maybe the month before, where the writer said that when their mom gave birth, that was the last time they saw that, like, thing standing by the bed, and then it like got passed to the child.
The fact that, like, it happened so rapidly, like a full transaction had happened. Yikes.
So gross.
So anyway, it was the man trying to get inside. It was inside now and letting itself known, let it be known to all of us. At this point, nothing was quiet again, literally. Chairs were scooting across the floor. Cabinets were opening and closing. Toys in the playroom going off. What sounded like a whip cracking at the foot of my bed in the middle of the night. Experiencing night terrors. Hearing a man's voice occasionally in the kitchen. And there was that one night where my husband came home early from work and I was in the kitchen with my back to the stairs. And my husband said, who do you have here? And I just saw a man run up the stairs.
Oh, like, who do you have here?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah. Oh my God. Gross. He really thought I was hiding a secret lover or something. He checked the whole house and no one was there. Friends would come over.
A secret lover who has a whip.
Well, I almost wish that was happening.
Probably.
It would at least be more manageable.
Yeah.
Friends would come over and witness and experience the same thing I was. I was really terrified for my daughter, but felt powerless. And despite my husband experiencing these things as well, he denied the possibility of something paranormal. I felt alone and scared to bits for my kid.
Yeah.
When she was around 3 and a half, I was pregnant again. Oh my God, did you not learn from the last time? Oh my goodness. It's like, come on. Like, what? Now this is going to happen twice. Okay. When she was around 3 and a half, I was pregnant again with our second daughter, and we decided to move to a different town, and I was looking so forward to escaping the current house, thinking that a new house would rid us of this bad energy or ghosty man. I was wrong.
No.
We moved into our new home, and almost immediately, I started catching Stella in corners of the house. Here it is. No. Having full conversations with nothing.
No.
It wasn't normal play type conversations either. Like when kids play with dolls and voice both roles of the conversation, it was her pausing, then responding, then pausing, then responding. I kept asking her about it, and she would say that she was, quote, talking to her dead brother, Daniel.
Stop it.
And by the way, she had no dead brother named Daniel. Of course not.
I am freaking out, man. Or
there was one time when she had, by the way, like, that's apparently very common for kids to, like, be, like, something, if it's attached to a kid, will say, like, oh, I'm a relative, and that way it's safe.
Like, don't worry, we know each other, or, like, I know you.
Yeah, we're not strangers. You can feel safe with me.
Oh, my gosh, horrible.
And there was one time she had set a chair facing a dark corner, and when I questioned her, she said she was playing hide and seek with them, and that they like the dark. I'm literally living in a horror movie. Yes. This kept going and going, and she started to get irritable when I would ask her about it, and her conversation seemed to get more and more hostile. I would hear her scream to them, no, I said I don't want to do that, or things along those lines.
See, that's scary. It starts off quote-unquote innocent, and then it, like, gets hostile.
I would imagine the only thing a kid doesn't want to do is, like, maybe this thing was saying, like, hurt mommy, you know?
Or, like something. Break things. I've heard of, like, some being, like, break things so they get in trouble, or, like, hurt somebody or break something or jump off of roof. There was one on one episode of this, one of those cheesy paranormal shows where the kid was like, I'm jumping off the roof. The ghost told me to. And I was like, oh, no.
That happened, I think, in Amityville, too.
Oh, yeah. It might have been that.
Now, my second child was born, and I was in the family room one night breastfeeding her at, like, 1 a.m., all of a sudden, the entire house shook and I heard a thud from Stella's room and I ran back to see what the hell was happening. She was on the floor bawling and said that they had pushed her out of bed.
Oh no.
At this point, I snapped. I have two babies to protect and felt like I was failing. If these things can physically hurt them, I had to intervene. I got online and started researching every ghost paranormal group close to me, and I reached out to several and got a response back from one. I believe it was the Paranormal Investigators of Central Kentucky. Okay, so there you have it. If you're in Kentucky.
There's one near me called, I forget, it's like the Ohio Valley Paranormal that's up in northern Kentucky. So there's central, northern, I can't help you if you're in southern. But we got central and northern covered.
Well, PICK, PICK, apparently. They at least respond to your emails. So.
Okay, good.
I received a phone call from their medium, and her name was Crystal. We spoke for a bit on the phone. She said something that shook me to my core. She said, your daughter is a very strong empath, and she has been protecting your family this entire time. This all stems from your grandmother's side.
Oh my god, it's so creepy how long this, like, goes through generations and things like that.
She had asked to come to my house to cleanse it in the name of God, even if I was not a believer. Yo, that's bad. Like, that's how you know when it's like, you don't even have to believe.
It doesn't matter.
Let me come here and do this.
God wants to fix this. He doesn't even care that you don't believe in him. He's like, he's like, step aside.
I know that's supposed to be like a sin and everything, but like, you need all the help you can get. And asked to be able to speak to my daughter, and I agreed. Anything to help. Well, my husband found out and called me crazy. Okay, I don't know where you are in this relationship today, but in this moment, please tell me this man is not your husband anymore. I hope.
Whoa.
Like, in this fucking moment, he's calling you crazy and your kid's getting pushed around and shit. I hope he's had, like, a change in his opinion.
Yeah, I hope at least something. That he came to understand this is more than...
In this moment, I would have been like, it's my kids or it's you, pick. Like, it's my kids. So, let's see, where were we? He was calling you crazy.
You were telling them to get a divorce.
He was gaslighting. Yeah, well, someone's gaslighting you and your kid's getting hurt. So I have, let me take this moment to apologize to absolutely fucking no one on that one. My husband was calling me crazy for agreeing to let a stranger come to the home. I had to call Crystal back and cancel our meeting. She laughed when I called and said, no worries, those malicious spirits already know that you have reached out and almost had them banished, and they will be quiet for a while, so you will let them stay. Just know that while it may be quiet, it will come back worse.
Okay, I hate that they're so aware that they can strategize how to stay in the home and how to keep you on your toes. That's so bad.
My god, the fact that they're like, okay, well, maybe she'll ignore it, and I mean, it's literally a toxic relationship of like, oh, maybe I'll be good for now until you forgive me, and then I'll come back and be even worse. And also, side note, now that I know that the husband was calling you crazy for bringing a stranger in, that changes things a little bit.
You kind of stopped in the mid-sentence, but I mean,
I guess I forgive him all of a sudden.
I would really be very skeptical if Blaze was like, hey, I'm bringing some lady named Crystal over to I'd be like, what are you doing? I get it. I get being like, don't bring strangers over the house. Because I'm
I get that. this is a PSA though. If you are with anybody who calls you crazy and means it, do not just walk away. Just walk away, because someone out there is going to think. Unless you are like Christine and like just bananas crazy, you know, then it's
unless it's one thing. in a
loving, creative way. If you're creatively crazy, then that's fine.
Or unless you're really doing something harmful or hurtful and you maybe deserve to be called out. But that's a different
story. Oh my gosh, this PSA has gone everywhere. Yeah, oh, it's all over the place.
This is a dumb PSA. Why are we shouldn't be giving relationship PSA. We're in no position here.
I also can't find where I was. Just something about malicious demons. Oh, yes. So they're just going to be extra terrible after a while. Yep. They will be quiet for a while, so you'll let them stay. Yeah. Okay. Sure enough, though, after that call, things did quiet down. A few months later, I was home one night alone, and I was sitting on my back porch and heard Stella scream, "Mommy." Great. I went to run inside, but realized she wasn't even home. Okay. So, So now this thing is mimicking your kids and terrifying you that way. Great.
Oh, no.
I went to run inside, but realized she wasn't even home. Whatever is in our house was mimicking her. A month or so after that, my husband was home by himself, and he invited our neighbor over to watch football. Our neighbor heard Stella scream from her bedroom, "Daddy," but Stella wasn't home then either. And my husband didn't hear it, only our neighbor.
But see, okay, I was gonna say, not to like defend this guy or whatever, but just to say, like, we don't know, because a lot of times when I see these stories happen, it's almost like the spirits or the entities like know how to split people apart and like damage relationships.
That's
and
true.
So a lot of times you'll see them be like, "I heard nothing, I saw nothing." Like the one person will be like, "I thought they were losing their minds, or we had a gas leak, because like I saw nothing or heard nothing." So like sometimes I feel like they gaslight you into like feeling like you're the only person who sees or hears it. But I don't know that that's
the
case.
You're right. I stand corrected.
I'm just saying I watch corrected. Too much TV is all I'm saying. But anyway.
It's all terrible. And I it's just really very bad. Okay. So, okay. And it says it spooked him to bit. So I am appreciating that like he's kind of like on the side of this is creepy as shit.
Well, and
now.
He didn't hear it, which is so creepy. Like the neighbor heard it, which is like, again, they're avoiding the husband at all costs.
Okay. I'm citing more. As the story goes on, I'm siding more and more with the husband. Maybe. I went from zero to, I'm at a 30 now.
Maybe they know that the husband is the one who stopped the medium from coming, and like they want him to continue to like believe this is all phony or whatever. Anyway.
I feel like this is that game where it's like, you know, you have like serial killer tendencies if you can answer that question about the funeral. Have you ever seen that?
I don't think so.
Where it's like the question is, if you meet a cute guy or a cute girl at your mom's funeral, but then you don't get a chance to ask for their number, what do you do to see them again? And like a lot of people will say like, oh, you kill your dad, or you kill someone else next to you, so that way you'll see them at another funeral. But it's supposed to be like whatever the answer is, like if you answer it that way, then it suggests you have like homicidal tendencies.
All right,
like,
everybody, just answered that, you better call your therapist.
Or like manipulative tendencies, I guess is probably a better word. But
my dumb ass was like, journal about it and feel sad. So okay, I guess I'm not a serial killer.
I don't think so, because you are like reading the tendencies of these demons here. We are like, oh well, they're just like trying to like really cater to the husband right now because he's gonna keep a medium away. And I'm like, okay. I'm pretty sure you're half a demon.
Maybe I just have okay, tendencies. Okay. You know what? Okay. I'm holding two demons right now as a comfort, so you're probably onto something.
And once my husband told me about it, I was extra freaked out because it was almost identical to my experience. Aside from that, there has been nothing. I'm waiting for the moment they decide to rear their ugly face again and to mess with my babies.
Oh, shit.
I also worry for my oldest and the responsibility she must be feeling to keep these spirits at bay and to protect
that's
us.
That's so sad too, that she has to be the empath who like protects the family. Aww.
She's 7 now, and if you ask her about it, she gets a strange glossed over look in her eye will act like she has no idea what you're talking about. Damn, I mean, can you imagine the trauma for a 7-year-old?
No.
If I ever had any doubts in the existence of the paranormal before, those are long gone. There is much more out there than we know and can control. Sorry this was so long, but this is our story and something we cannot share openly with a lot of people without judgment. Christine, best of luck with your little one.
Yeah, wait a second. Just what a baby shower gift. Thank you.
Just pay close attention if they start talking to a cursed church stairs or estate sale couch. Kids are scary sometimes, especially when they see and talk to ghosty people. Love you all so much and wishing you all the best. Okay, first of all, Alex, I really thought this was going to end with, like, the medium coming.
Yes, me too.
And, like, I thought there was a happy ending here. I didn't know you're still living in this.
And now I'm afraid we're setting it off again by reading the story.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That's so awful. I thought that this was going to be like, anyways, the medium came and fixed it all.
I thought Crystal saved the day.
Where's Crystal? What happened?
Call Crystal right now.
Oh, I had to call Crystal back and cancel our meeting because the husband said no. Okay, tell your husband, like, this is, maybe Crystal is onto something. Just give it a shot from outside the house, maybe,
well,
and just see what happens.
Crystal said that it would calm down for a bit and then ramp up, so this is probably still that calm down period.
Which means it's going to get so much worse.
Oh, I just got shivers.
Shit, that's so terrible. The fact that that's happening to someone in real time.
Okay. We probably just made it worse.
I think we made it worse. Also, yeah. I, like, wildly criticized your husband the whole time.
Yeah, kind of, but, you know, whatever.
I thought he wasn't on your side,
I tried
Alex.
To be That's diplomatic here. I tried to be diplomatic.
I ran with my emotions. That was.
I know I'm
the
like,
there.
Impatient, spontaneous one, but I'm also very anxious.
I was just ready to fight for Alex. I was like, your husband's calling you crazy? What's going on?
Well, no. Yeah, that part's not great, but, I mean.
Alex, I'm so sorry, and if there's an update, can you call Zach Bagans? Like, can he do
honestly,
something? Honestly,
that
know.
Might be the... honestly, this sounds like one of those episodes on ID or whatever, like, where they go to families' houses. Like, this sounds exactly like an episode.
Also, but, like, I wonder, is he... Would he make it worse? Because he would... But he could offer... Maybe he knows people who can help?
Yeah, maybe... I would just call Crystal first. I feel like
I'd call
Crystal. Knows.
I'd call every church. I would call the Vatican. I'm so sorry.
Crystal made the
awful.
Comment about your daughter being an empath. I feel like she's onto something. I feel like that's a good place to start, and then she'll know what to do if it doesn't get better.
Oof.
Call
Alex.
Pick. Was it Pick or Pack?
Call Pick. They are the paranormal investigators of Central Kentucky. Yeah, whatever happened to them? Oh, they just had you reach
also,
out
I know
to
I
the...
said we wanted to be friends, but can we hang out at my house? Because I feel like, even though I have haunted stairs, like, your house sounds way scarier.
Grab coffee sometime.
Maybe
wow.
on a third party, yeah, location.
the worst, that ghosty man inside me. Are you
very,
kidding me?
Very,
so, like, no
bad
matter
stuff.
Where you go, the spirit is... with you.
And then
like
they moved and it came
kid.
The fact that it came to the new house, something needs to be done.
I have such crazy chills. I'm so terrible.
I'm
wow
freaked out thoroughly. I agree.
I don't even want to say thank you, Crystal. Like, I mean,
I hope
thank
you're
you
okay.
Yeah, I just,
I mean, I'm glad
so
you
bad.
Wrote all that out too, because, like, what if, like, maybe if you need somebody to help you on, like, a show or something, you can send them this email and be like, I wrote it out already here.
If somebody does know how to help Alex, I don't know, reach out on one of our That's Why We Drink forums or something. But
all the forums, you know, we have
all, well, like a some sort of social media, or I don't know.
No, why don't you just use the form on our website and write, like, subject, like, helping.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If someone can help, I think Alex is the person out of all the stories we've ever read. I think Alex needs the most help,
especially because it's, like, so ongoing. Yeah, maybe you write, like,
and children
advice for Alex or something like that, you know?
Yes. All right. Okay. Well, wishing you the best luck, and everybody, can we all do a collective sending good energy?
Yes.
That would be amazing.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay.
Well, I have an email from Katie, and wow, I hate the subject. It's aliens dragged me under the bed.
I already mentally can barely keep us together now with the last story, and
I'm
now
so
there's
scared.
This. Oh my god.
Okay. Hello, Eva M. Oh, sorry, I should say this is from Katie. She here. Thank you, Katie. Hello, Eva M. Christy, Geo, Junie, Mooney, Lemon, and everyone else in That's Why We Drink family. I found you guys back in August of 2020, and I've been binging the podcast ever since. I was listening to Listener Tales Volume 30, and the story about the alien encounters one of the listeners had just caused a deeply buried memory of mine to surface. See, now we're just causing problems all over the place, Em. We're like triggering unrecovered memories, and, like, it's just bad.
I used to think that power would be fun to hold. And
yes,
now,
why did we think that? We did.
I thought it would just be a fun, quirky thing, and now I'm like, oh my god.
Now we feel like the power has overwhelmed us.
Mm-hmm. Nailed it.
Yeah. Okay. A deeply buried memory of mine to surface. My memories are a bit fuzzy, but I'm fairly sure this happened when I was around 5 years old. My little sister had just been born a few months prior, and my parents had left us with the neighbors so they could go on a date night. They arrived to pick us up late enough that the sky was so dark it was black, and I distinctly remember there were no stars that night, which is probably why it was so jarring to see this fireball shooting across the sky so close that I so close that I could see the yellow and orange flames on the outside of the ball. My parents were holding my sister and I on the front lawn of my neighbors as we all stood outside saying goodbye, and I remember them all commenting on it. Okay, so everybody saw it.
Okay.
We got back home, and my memory skips for a bit, but the next thing I remember is laying in my bed with an intense feeling of dread as I started out my open door into the hallway. After that, I must have fallen asleep. Oh, wait. As I started... Oh, sorry. Eva mentioned this earlier. I think it's meant to be stared. As I stared out my open door into the hallway. After that, I must have fallen asleep because I opened my eyes to see a small figure standing in the doorway staring me down. It was tiny, maybe 1 to 2 feet tall. Oh, I feel like you've talked about creatures that are really short. Remember?
Probably. That checks out. It makes sense.
I remember we brought it up in the grasshopper. Not the grasshopper. Were they grasshoppers?
Oh, the praying mantis.
Praying mantis episode. We brought it up again.
Yeah.
It was tiny, maybe 1 to 2 feet tall, and a muddy grayish brown color with almost leathery looking skin. It was hairless, and I remember its eyes being big black orbs that took up basically its whole head. I'm so grossed out. This is freaky.
Are you kidding me? Okay.
I don't remember waking up the next morning, but after that, I developed a habit of sleepwalking. I would wake up all the time in the kitchen, on the floor, on the living room floor, facing the TV, and one of the most common places I would wake up was in our sunroom that had a massive fish tank. I would wake up standing with my face pressed against the glass. That's very scary.
If we're talking like just normal sleepwalking, that's already like really intense. But also if it's aliens, then it makes sense with some of the other stories I've done, like even the praying mantis one, where people like the people who were somehow awake and could experience it, they weren't even sleepwalking. They were just kind of getting floated out of bed and
they weren't like in control. Yeah.
They were just kind of, and then they just kind of drop and wake up later in that spot.
But the worst place I would wake up, which also happened a lot, was under my bed.
See ya.
Okay. If I woke up under my bed at any point for any reason, I think I would have an absolute... I know I would have a panic attack.
Like I would have a conniption. I would lose it. I would lose it. And not because I was under my bed, but because like I know I didn't get under that bed. Because
like how and why and holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would be pressed up all the way under against the wall. Other times I would be halfway under my bed with my lower half under and my top half sticking out, almost like something was dragging me by my feet under the bed.
Oh my God.
This is so scary. And every time I remember when I actually did see a clock, it was always 3 or 3:30 a.m., of course. We moved out of that house, and after we left, I never had another episode of sleepwalking, or at least I never woke up in any weird places. Now, look, I know I was 5, so the fireball and that image of the alien in my doorway could have been my imagination, but the fact that I started sleepwalking after that seems a little fishy to me. I've always also been very open to spirits, and a lot of the women on my maternal side are sensitive in varying degrees, so it wouldn't surprise me if that somehow made me more susceptible to all kinds of experiences. I do have my fair share of ghost encounters and possibly a stalker slash murderer, but that's a story for a different time. Anyway, thank you for everything you do. You've made this past year and a half of quarantine bearable, and it feels like I'm hanging out with my friends every time I listen to an episode. I swing back and forth between team wine and milkshake, but I would say my lactose intolerant ass is more team milkshake.
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either. Anyway, well, so are you, right? So it fits.
Yeah.
Fits the bill. Yeah. anyways, all my love to the And That's Where You Drink family, and thank you, Em, for introducing me to London Fogs.
You are so welcome.
Wow. Okay, so.
You are so welcome.
Fireball, and everybody saw it. That wasn't a figment of your imagination. And that night you saw or dreamed or saw an alien in your figure.
Figure. Like you woke up to like a little creature.
That same night.
I don't know. It almost like it knew that you saw it earlier, or it felt like it could come. It was more drawn to you versus everyone else that witnessed something. Ooh. And then you're just waking up under your bed. But also like, not to be that person, but like under the bed by the wall where it's like all dusty, like that makes it even worse, because then you have to like and like pat yourself off when you get up later.
And like,
so it's
yeah.
like scary and a little shameful.
Kind of gross. Yeah. I mean, as long as your bed looks like mine, which is really dirty down there and dusty. I don't know if maybe you have a Roomba that cleans regularly, Caitlin, but.
Or if you have depression and just don't clean under your bed.
Correct.
Like me.
And there's just Cheeto dust down there, which would happen. just a thought.
Oh wow, that's awful. Just also the waking up with your face pressed against the like fish tank and stuff. Like,
can you imagine
how
your
weird?
Eyes would be so alarmed to see like for yeah. that to be your first sight? Terrible.
How was your body even balancing that way on its own?
Well, no, like standing, like looking into the fish tank.
I guess, but I feel like my knees would give out if I were sleeping.
No, no, sleepwalking.
But then they wake up later. Like
no, they
that?
Wake up. They wake up. While they're staring into the fish tank. Oh. You know, like when you sleepwalk and then suddenly you're like, I mean, I don't really sleepwalk, but like you'll wake up mid sleepwalk and be like, what am I doing? Or like you're like sleep eating or doing something.
The fish tank one specifically, I thought that they were like, they had clearly walked to the fish tank and then they woke up later seeing that they had walked to the fish tank because their face was like still pressed against the.
I think that's what they meant. Like they sleepwalked to the fish tank and at some point while staring at it, woke up and realized they were like just pressed against it.
So creepy.
Yeah. Honestly, so creepy. That's like one of those things. There's a TikToker named, I think her name is like Selena Spooky yeah. Boo or whatever. And she does those sleepwalking TikToks. And they are wild. Like, they're hilarious, but also, like, creepy. Especially
so
if it
scary.
Were, if it were a child doing all, some of this stuff, like, talking to the corner and, like, yelling and, like, having conversation. I mean,
I can't imagine. Like, at what point, there had to have been a few first times before it became funny for Selena where, like, it's she just woke up terrified every time.
Yeah, like, where her partner was like, why are you screaming in the living room?
Yeah. Scary. Ugh. Okay, so sleepwalking is awful, in my opinion. It just scares me. And then also so does alien encounters. And also being dragged under a bed.
It's all
of it sounds really
just
bad.
In combination, no thanks.
This next story is from Megan.
Oh, come on.
Who has two redeeming qualities. One, Megan says that her pronouns are she, her, hers. So she normalizes pronouns. And also she said, P.S. Sorry for all the Megans out there that ruined a good name. okay, so Megan.
That's like all the Scorpios that say to you, but I'm a good Scorpio. And you're like,
I'm like, okay, what's your name? And then they say Megan. We've had a bunch of people at Meet and Greet be like, hi, I'm a Megan and I'm a Scorpio. And I'm like, what?
And I'm like, I love you. Let's take a photo. M doesn't want to talk to you.
No. The subject line is hundreds of tiny black shoes. I hate that.
What?
Goodbye. Megan says, hi, and that's why we drink Cruise. So I have to admit that this is not my story, but my father-in-law's and husband's story. But it's too good not to share. When my father-in-law was young, he lived on an old farmstead in Iowa, far away from any other neighbors. He and his family had all sorts of paranormal experiences in that house, but this one stands out the most to me because my husband can vouch for it too. My father-in-law and his siblings all remember and swear to this day that occasionally a small green man wearing shiny black shoes would come out of the cornfields and taunt them in the evenings.
Oh my God.
Taunt them how? Oh, he would climb into trees and throw things at them and then
well,
laugh.
That's pretty taunting to me.
When the children went in to tell the adults, the adults could not see him in the trees. Wow, so it's literally a little green goblin, basically, who's like hiding from adults and throwing things at you and laughing.
Yeah, it sounds like a leprechaun with the shiny shoes.
Yeah. Oh.
Doesn't
Christine.
It?
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Years later, my father-in-law took his family, including my husband as a teenager, to see the now abandoned farmstead to show them where he'd grown up. The farmstead was in disarray and part of the attic and roof had collapsed. And when they peeked in the farmhouse, they discovered hundreds of tiny black shoes.
You've
got to be kidding me.
Shut the front door and
You've
run away.
You've got to be kidding me.
Forever. Oh my God. What the fuck?
What on earth? Hundreds?
What the
Needless
fuck?
Needless to say... they all took off in a hurry and never went back to that place, and it has since burned down, hopefully taking the small green man with it. So there was only one green man and he had hundreds of tiny shoes, or were there hundreds of little green men? Either way, it's so bad.
I wonder if it was just like his final way of taunting them, like, I was real all along, and like one pair of shoes wasn't creepy enough.
I know I was just joking about, like, don't call people crazy. Christine, the way that you are just able to come up with the exact narrative that must have happened is out of this world. What is going on?
I don't know. I just kind of get the vibe of the perpetrators of these horrible, creepy acts, which, again, maybe makes me part demon. I don't know, but...
You're at least part prankster, part demonic prankster.
I know what would terrify everyone the most.
I wonder how long those shoes had been sitting and wait for someone to come back, or did they just conjure in that moment?
That's a great point. Like Schrodinger's little black shoes. Like, were they there the whole time, or was it?
Were
just
these
when
ones
you
shiny?
In?
Were they shiny, or were they a little buffed after all these years,
or were they dusty from all that sitting and waiting? Also, what gets me? Okay, so there was. I mean. This is another podcast, but our favorite show, Jim Harold's Campfire, there was a story of a guy who talked about seeing a leprechaun when he was a little kid. And he would always, I mean, this is kind of a spoiler, but it's from a really old episode. But he would always say, you know, I saw this little leprechaun as a kid and he would come to my room. And then he grew older and he was like, oh, that's ridiculous. Like, nobody sees a leprechaun in their room. And one time he was talking to his brother and he's like, yeah, I used to imagine this like little green leprechaun. And the brother goes... And the brother goes, you saw him too?
What on earth?
And then
are you
he was
kidding?
Like, yeah. And then he described him and he was like, he was a little man and he wore green. And so in my mind, sometimes I think like maybe this is how children like can conceptualize it as like it's some sort of entity, but like it shows itself as a demon or a small alien or... I don't know,
that's
man.
So gross. And then, yeah, it makes you wonder, like, oh, were the two of you actually like lucky enough to see a real leprechaun, or was it like, oh, this is actually a demon who was trying the same tricks on both of you when you were alone?
It's yeah, like, or he just happened to be green, and you were like, oh, leprechauns are green, or who knows?
Yeah. Oh gosh.
No. Wow. Good.
Well, thanks, Megan, for that. It would be even creepier if the husband and father-in-law, when they were running away, all of a sudden they heard some of the shoes upstairs start tapping, like they were running after you.
Or they
you.
Came out of the trees. Like, stop somewhere. It. He was taunting.
If something started throwing things at you for one last time on your way to the car.
It hits the windshield as you're leaving. Oh, my God.
I wonder what kind of laugh it was. I imagine, like, a creepy little prankster
of
snicker.
Of course like it was. Like a little cackle. Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Ugh.
Yikes, Megan.
Yucko. All right, this is our last story. This is from Kelsey, she, her. Thank you, Kelsey. And the subject is Guardian Angel Grandma Connected During Your Listener Episode.
What? All right.
I feel like we're a little too close to these stories this month.
This, okay, but the last few of these, the last at least, I don't know, half of them, we are really running the gamut between like the most terrifying thing in the world and also like a sweet reunion.
The most comforting, like, yeah. Yeah.
And also a leprechaun demon. What was that sound? Did you hear that?
No. Was it me? It might have been me.
Something sounded like a clap or something.
I hit my chest. That might have been my acid reflux. No?
Well, if you hear anything in the back, I did not make that sound. I was very confused.
Well, if you're watching the YouTube video, maybe they can see if... I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway.
Maybe they can see if... I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway. It went from like, oh, here's like the scariest child... possessing demon in the world, and then also my grandma is here. It's like, what?
They keep us on our toes, our little black shoed toes, these listeners. They do. Okay, so this is the story. It's pretty short. I love listening to your podcast. I listen to it all day at work. I was listening to your listeners' episode about guardian angels while absentmindedly counting change to help a coworker break a 20 from my purse. A few random coins spilled out of my wallet onto the floor. I finished getting my coworker his change and bent to pick up the money. One of the coins caught my eye, and I couldn't shake that something must be special about it. My dad collects coins, a hobby he picked up from his beloved grandmother. I sent him a picture of the penny, and he quickly replied that the penny was incredibly rare and valuable. The only person in our family besides my dad who would have known the value of that coin was my great-grandma. I take it as no coincidence that during your Guardian Angel episode, my great-grandma, a strong protector of her family, would choose to show me the little treasure that had been sitting in my purse for so long. Also, I should mention that the year of the coin is 1945, the same year my great-grandma watched her son unite in the marriage that would give her my coin-loving father.
Aww.
And that's the end of the story.
That's so sweet.
Beautiful.
And also, I love that your guardian angel is also, like, giving you, like, prized collectibles.
Some monetary, like, value, yeah.
Like, can my Gammy show up with, like, a Princess Diana Beanie Baby or something? Like, I'm confused. My
to be fair, you have to already own it. Maybe she'll just, like, toss it out of the closet for you and be like, here, sell this on eBay.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's did you also cool. hear, speaking of eBay, the Princess Diana, and then also the Beauty and the Beast video? Did you know that also went for, like, $5,000 or something? It was...
What?
It was the ones, remember the old, like, puffy video cases for kids?
Like the VHS ones?
Yeah, but, like, you know how the paper one, then there's, like, the book one that's,
yes,
like,
yes.
Apparently that, as Beauty and the Beast, sold on eBay for, like, thousands and thousands
of
dollars. Uh-huh.
I mean, I have that VHS. So if you got one of those
in the puffy thing?
Like, just a regular VHS holder? Like a plastic
with the case. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think all my VHSs are in those.
Okay, well, then you're sitting on quite a load of money. Congratulations.
Wait, for real? What?
I don't know what else
to
tell
you. I can't imagine why that would be uncommon, but yeah, I guess.
I don't know, maybe it was a fluke and someone, like, really oversold it. Like, but...
Okay, I mean, sure, I'll look into it. I mean, maybe you're my guardian angel right now, and you're just... telling me what I already know here, what I didn't know.
I wish I was my own guardian angel and found a giant cash cow that I was sitting on. Anyway, I'm very glad that you were reconnected with your grandma.
But what
in
a
some
cool
way,
story
Kelsey.
In that, like, it was already in your purse and your grandma was like, here, drop it on the floor, and, like, pointed it out to you, you know? It was like,
yeah.
She like
made
knew.
You feel like, no, this one you gotta ask about.
Look at this one. Oh, how cool is that?
Wow, what a round of stories we've had this week.
Freaking roller coaster.
Again, so sorry to Alex about everything.
Are you okay?
And,
yep. Please follow up. You. We're curious if, like, anything happens with Crystal, or if they maybe leave you alone for good. That would be great. Who
knows? Yeah. And then thank you, Kelsey, Megan, Katie, Rebecca, and who
Bailey.
Else? Bailey. So thank you everyone for writing in. If you would like to send in your own stories, you can do that at our website, and that's whydrink.com. We have a submission form for you to put in your own true crime, paranormal, personal stories, and they'll go into the running for next month's listeners episode.
That's
the first
right
of every month.
I'm gonna real quick look online and make sure I get the name of this right. My little crypt. Oh my god, there are so many Mothman cryptids on Etsy. Maybe I should have we'll put the name of the shop in the show notes to make sure, because it's Cryptid something. I know that.
Also,
we'll put the name of the shop.
And just to let you know, currently the Beauty and the Beast cassette tape and the puffy white book case is running for $8,000 on eBay.
What? Does it have to be new?
It looks like it's in pretty great condition.
Okay. I mean, ours is probably, like, destroyed by now, so it's probably not worth anything, but my mom, with all my luck, my mom's probably like, oh, I threw them in the literal trash. We'll see.
Or she'll be like, oh, yeah, I already invested in that. And now I have $1 million. And
oh,
and
listen, I'll take that. She can take me to lunch at least.
Well, thank you, everyone. And we will tell you some more spooky tales on August 1st when we'll be officially.
That's terrifying, by the way.
8 out of 12 months through. Or almost through 2021.
Oh, wait, can I also, sorry, can I request, I know we haven't done this in a while, can I request a theme?
Yeah.
So one day I do want to do, like, creepy little kid stories, but what about for now if we do, like, creepy, like, I don't know if this is too selfish of me, but, like, creepy, like, pregnancy experiences or dreams or things that...
You are your own worst nightmare.
I know. But, like, my mother-in-law talked about, like, how she saw her daughter in a dream before she was born.
That happened to Deirdre's mom, too.
Yes, exactly. I don't know. I love stories like that. Obviously, we don't have to make the whole theme that, but, like, if anybody has one of those, I would love to hear it. Because nothing like that has really happened to me. So, you know, I'd like to hear other people's.
Should that be one that we hold off on and do for your due date month?
Well, I was thinking maybe later on we can do one of, like, creepy little kid, like, creepy babies or creepy little kids.
The before and after of pregnancy.
Because I feel like creepy kid stories of, like, my friend, the ghosty man, are also just their own wild adventures, but I don't know.
It'll give us a few months for Alex to reach out again and let us know what's going on. Yes, right.
Alex, document what's happening and let us know.
Let's definitely do that then. We'll do creepy pregnancies or creepy parent-child relationships, yeah. I suppose. And then come October, November, we'll do creepy baby stories.
Yes. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. And
that's
why
we
drink.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.